Lynn Nicholson is a professional trumpet player, and with perhaps the best white head of hair you've ever seen in your life. In the midst of his travels being a professional musician, he landed upon an amazing location to play his trumpet. Not only did he play it in beautiful surroundings, but the surroundings themselves provided him the opportunity to hear his own playing. So watch about 27 seconds of him playing the trumpet. Echoes. He heard his melody two times after he played it. The echo reverberated through the canyon. His music continued to play. The message that came from the end of his trumpet continued to travel on. It was heard again and again and again. Psalm 117 continues to echo down to the ears of God's people. We hear it ring out to us on this Christmas Eve morning. Psalm 117 continues to echo because God has preserved His Word and the Psalms for us. We're taking time this Christmas as a church to be in a season of Psalms, going through a different Psalm at both campuses each week. Psalm 117 is where we're going to be today. And the resounding message of Psalm 117 is really, really straightforward. Everyone prays. That's pretty much all it says. One of the reasons we know that is that because this psalm is so short, there's actually very little else said. The 19th century British preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this of the two verses contained in Psalm 117. This psalm, which is very little in its letter, is exceedingly large in its spirit. For bustling beyond all bounds of race or nationality, it calls upon all mankind to praise the name of the Lord. A very short psalm if you regard the words, but a very great compass and most excellently if you thoughtfully regard its meaning. So let's read the entire psalm together. I'm pretty sure, do we have it, Jennifer, on slides? So we're going to read Psalm 117 out loud together. Ready? Here we go. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples. For great is His steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. The first word of the psalm tells us exactly what to do. It tells us to praise the Lord. It's as if the poet is answering an unheard question. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to praise the Lord. Now, some of you people who've grown up in church world your whole life are actually really, really familiar with those first three English words. It's also our English word hallelujah. In Hebrew, hallel yah, praise the Lord. It's a cry of exclamation. Praising is to admire, to eulogize, to cry out literally hallelujah. And the psalm is saying, do what it says, praise the Lord. Praising connected to eulogy is interesting to me. Eulogies are typically given at a funeral where someone gets up and shares thoughts and remembrances and emotions and stories about someone who's gone. And they treasure those moments and try to give them as gifts to those that are there. And in a sense, we actually eulogize all the time about Jesus in praise. Jesus did die, and our praise coming out of our mouth, praise the Lord, hallelujah, is directed towards Him. The poet also tells us to extol the Lord. Now, that's not a word that any of us use in our daily lives. If I were a betting man, I would put down a lot of money that none of you worked extol into a conversation anywhere this week. But it's a really powerful little word. It means to make exuberant statements about the excellence of someone and perhaps even to sing them. When we extol God, when he tells us, extol him all peoples, we say things that are filled with lively and energetic excitement about how amazing and excellent God is. That's what it means to extol. You say amazing things about who God is and perhaps even sing them. So think of how many times I've already mentioned the incarnation today. If that's real, if the all-powerful God of the universe incarnating himself, becoming 100% God and man happened, if that happened, you can't talk about that in a normal voice. Like that is a mind-numbing, how in the world did that happen? We extol that reality about who God is. We can't talk about God becoming human in normal ways. We can't speak of Jesus living a perfect life for us as if it's boring. We can't speak of the cross as if it's a regular everyday event. No, we have to extol those things. We have to speak about them with energy and excitement and even sing about them, because talking about it alone isn't enough. We have to take those realities and set them to music and hold out vowels and go up and down scales, because we have to have more and able to extol the realities of who God is. I would argue even the overused phrase, Merry Christmas, can be extolling if behind it we have the reality of why any of us could be merry. We hear in the echo of Psalm 117 the commands to praise and extol the Lord. The poet of this song then tells us exactly who is supposed to praise. All nations and all peoples are given the task and joy of praising and extolling the Lord. And in the context of the Jewish poet writing this, this is a stunning revelation. These words are extol-worthy. These are Jewish poems. And even in the middle of a Jewish poem, we already see the great covenant God opening up a door for anyone to believe. Not just God's selected people, but anyone can praise and extol the Lord. It's not a job for just one people. It's for all peoples. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Listen to some of the Christmas songs that go around that ask for unity, harmony. That's a biblical reality. That is a God reality that we come together on in Psalm 117. Consider the passages that Janice read for us earlier from Luke 2 and Romans 15. Both of these have echoes of this invitation in them. Romans 15 literally quotes Psalm 117. As Paul says, the truth of the gospel is open to all people, both Jew and Gentile. Psalm 117 is a gospel declaration. I love the message to the shepherds in Luke 2. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. An echo of Psalm 117. This is for all people. This isn't something some of us hold on to. This is a message, a command for all people. In the 1800s, a gentleman named Bellett commented on this echoing and continuing use of Psalm 117 this way. He said, "It is a small portion of Scripture, and as such, we might easily overlook it. But not so the Holy Ghost. He gleans up this precious little testimony which speaks of grace to the Gentiles and presses it to our attention." The vast majority of us in here are recipients of the good news in Psalm 117. We are the nations. We are the peoples. We are Gentiles. This is the good news that we get to receive. The message of Psalm 117 is everyone praise, but that is an invitation to believe. Believe in the good news that will bring you great joy because Jesus Christ is Lord. The poet continues and tells us why we should praise, and he gives us two reasons to bolster up our praise and extolling. The first reason is, for great is his steadfast love towards us. Why do we praise? Why do we hallelujah as God's people? Because God's love, steadfast love, is great. Hebrew poetry is really dense. And what I mean by that is there's no wasted words. Everything has power. Everything is a rich image. So let's explore these a little bit. Because the poet describes the steadfast love of the Lord as great. And I think in our culture, great is a really weak word. If you get a B as a grade, that's a good grade. If you get an A, that's a great grade. I think that's how we process the word great. But when a Jew would read this in Hebrew, it's not just a little bit better. It's not a steadfast love that's just a little bit better. Great has a lot more going on. It's an active, moving love. It's translated in other places as prevail. The same word. God's love is great. God's love prevails. There's this story in the Old Testament of the Scriptures where Israel's doing battle. And as long as the leader of Israel keeps his hands up, Israel is great in battle. They prevail. But if his hands fall down, they're not great anymore. They get prevailed. God's love, his steadfast love, is a prevailing, active, powerful, superior love. Steadfast love, I've heard Peter describe as loving loyalty. God's loving loyalty is prevailing. It's overwhelming. It's a tidal wave over top of you. We praise God, we hallelujah as God's people, because that's the kind of love that we receive. And I think if our experience of God's love seems to be, pardon the word, piddly, like small, like we don't have a grasp of great, I invite you to get into Psalm 117. And be reminded that Jehovah God, Yahweh God, His love is moving towards you like crazy. Most evidently in the gift of His Son. Secondly, we're told to praise because the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. I think faithfulness in our culture most often is connected to marriage. You're faithful in marriage or you're not. People either praise someone. My wife and I just celebrated 22 years of marriage a week ago. And I've talked to some people about that. And one of them was outside of church culture. And I said, yeah, I've been married for 22 years. And he was just stunned. Like, that is amazing. How do you do it? You know? So it's either praised faithfulness in marriage or bemoaned the lack of it. But there's more to faithfulness than just sticking in difficult circumstances. Faithfulness is a firm, true, and lasting honesty. Faithfulness is a true, firm, loving honesty. It's faithful. That's what gives us motivation to praise. God's intentions towards us are firm. His relationship with us is true. There's no duplicity in the Lord. The Lord's commitment to us is lasting, and the Lord's commitment to us is honest, and it's a sincere one. God doesn't grudgingly stick with His people. God's faithfulness is towards His people forever, and it's moving towards us. The poet, in a sense, describes the shelf life of God's faithfulness. And there's no best if used by date. There's no spoil date on God's faithfulness. How long does it last? It endures forever. And that dimension of time for the Lord's faithfulness, I think, is a fascinating little moment that this poet gives us. The word for forever, depending on a prefix that comes before it, can either mean forever past or forever future. So sometimes in the Psalms, you'll read this language where the phrase is of old. And the poets are saying, God, remember your promises of old. One example is this: remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. They have endured from past forever. Then the prefix in Psalm 117 is, it's God's faithfulness endures forever, forever. Like it goes future forever. So God's love, faithfulness, mercy towards us are forever past and forever future. That is a lot of enduring faithfulness. It's a powerful image that the poet gives us to anchor us into what God is doing towards us, His faithfulness. God's faithfulness to you is both past and perpetual. It's first and forever. It's earliest and everlasting. His faithfulness is ancient and it's always. And that's why we can praise. If that's true, if God is always faithful to you, no duplicity, no mistake ever, then that's worthy of praise, because we probably don't have anyone else like that in our entire lives. There's only one who can pull off forever past faithfulness combined with forever future faithfulness, never making a mistake. Psalm 117 tells everyone to praise because God's loyal love is great and because His faithfulness is forever. And one last declaration of praise at the end of these two verses, he repeats himself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He commands God's people to cry that out. So in conclusion, let me do this. I want to read you my very loose paraphrase of Psalm 117. Then I'm going to read Psalm 117 again. And then we're going to sing some more. So this is my paraphrase of Psalm 117. My hope is that it will encourage you to praise. All pagan nations, join the cry of God's people as they sing hallelujah. Say and sing excellent things about our God. Why? Because God's powerful, loyal, and active love has shoes on and it's running towards you. And because God's true, firm, and lasting honesty is both ancient and forever. Hallelujah. Say it again. It's worth repeating, and it means praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples, for great is His steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke 2, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Praise the Lord. Let's sing.